Hello.
Hello, is this Mr. DeVoe?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, how are you? It's an honor.
Doing good.
Okay, awesome. Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with the one and only Robert Duvall to talk to Washington West Film Fest in Reston, Virginia, October 19th through the 25th. Mr. Duvall, it's an honor. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, sir.
Now, a lot of our listeners are, you know, probably huge fans of your movies, but they might not know that, you know, you've lived in right here in our backyard in Virginia for a while. Explain your Virginia roots. I know your dad was,
my dad was from Virginia. He went to the Naval Academy. He went to school in the woods down near Lawrence, Virginia. He went to the Naval Academy when he was 16 years old. They let him in. He was a career naval officer, and my brother had lived here, so I came back a number of years ago and bought a farm down here, and then I bought another one over near the plains. And although both my father and my brother passed away, I feel very, very good to live. I love living in Virginia, and my wife is now a citizen here in the United States, and she considers Virginia to be the last station before heaven. So that's a nice comment by my wife Luciana.
Is this heaven? No, it's Virginia. Oh, that's great. Didn't your mom also have some roots in Virginia too, like Robert E. Lee's family?
Well, they say I'm related to Robert E. Lee, but I always say so is everybody else in Virginia.
Yeah, that's true.
But when I had the good fortunate and a wonderful opportunity to play the part of Robert E. Lee in Gods and Generals, all I did was talk exactly like my father from Northern Virginia, with that soft R. And out the house, you know, they had a certain way of talking, because Lee was reared very much near Alexandria, near where my father was brought up, you know. So,
gotcha.
Lee, there's a lot of history here concerning Robert E. Lee. It's, you know, a lot of good history and a lot of mixed history, and a lot of very, very, very troubling times those were in those days, you know, very, very troubling. But my father's people were pro-Union during the Civil War, and they named my grandfather Abraham Lincoln Duvall. They were pro-Union behind Southern lines.
Wow.
That's interesting. I always felt kind of nice about that.
Wow, yeah, that's fascinating family history there. All right, well,
yes.
Awesome. Well, the reason we're talking, obviously, is because you've thrown your support behind the Washington West Film Fest. When did you first get involved with them?
Well, you mean the people up in Winchester?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, my wife and I, we've known them for a number of years, and they do a wonderful job with foster children, helping rear those who don't have a home, and it's a wonderfully benevolent place up there for young people coming up that have had, you know, bad upbringing and look for a new life and new hope. They do wonderful work. They have Heaven's Home. Yes,
that's awesome. Why should our listeners come out to Washington West? Because I know I think the Middleburg Film Festival is going on the same weekend. But if you ask me, that sort of rising tide raises all boats.
Yeah, well, I don't know much about the film festival in Middleburg here, but I do know about the one in Reston. A year ago, we hosted some people from that festival and had a very wonderful afternoon and dealing with those very very nice people, very much so.
Now, I hear that you're going to have a special evening with you on stage where you're going to be introducing some film clips.
Yeah, well, you know, I've had a lot of film clips. Some of them I want to forget, some of them I like, but I hope they pick the best ones, and we'll have a conversation, which I always like, with an audience and with the moderator. We talk about this and that in a very informal way. No, nothing judgmental or anything like that. Just to let people know what I do and what I feel about the business and so forth. You know, I've been blessed to be in a wonderful, have a wonderful career and a great, great, great profession, you know.
Definitely. I mean, I definitely want to go into some of your movies, but do you know, how much are you aware of the current slate at this film festival? Are you aware of the different films? Like, are we able to talk about them?
Not now, but by then I will know. I remember one a year ago by a gentleman from California did a wonderful movie, rather a short movie on Wounded Warriors. It was just absolutely first-rate, the filmmaking process.
How many years have you been going to the festival?
Just one.
Okay.
Just one. This will be the second year, yes.
Gotcha. So why do you come back?
Well, it's the nice people, and it's anybody that, you know, is very sincere about filmmaking, and they want to generate new filmmakers and help them out. That's a fine thing. I mean, I know in France alone there's 300 film festivals, so there are film festivals all over the world honoring filmmaking process. It's a very much of a phenomenon going into the 21st century, you know.
Yeah, might as well do it in Virginia. They do it in France. We can do it here.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
I think also, in addition to your event, I think they're going to screen All the President's Men for the 40th anniversary, and I'm pretty sure Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein are going to be there. How cool is that?
Oh, I got a story on Carl Bernstein. I won't tell you. Okay.
Come on. We want to hear it.
He won't want to hear it, but that's okay.
Okay.
But when I see him, I might tell him.
Yeah, you can tell him to his face.
Right. But that's good they're coming. That's good. Yeah, that's nice. They could re-show that. I can re-show that, yeah. Dustin Hoffman was me, my brother, and other guys, and Dustin Hoffman, we were all roommates in New York years and years and years ago at 107th and Broadway.
Oh, wow.
And Dustin went on and became this big star, and then we all had our careers, Gene Hackman, and so we, you know, a lot of memories, a lot of good memories.
What were they like back then? What was Hoffman like as a roommate?
Well, he was small, and there was a guy named Maureen Stern who was a cantor, who was a tall guy, had a thick neck, but Dusty had a big neck, although he was little, and he would steal this guy's shirts and put them on and roll the sleeves up, but the neck fit perfectly.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Right.
Awesome. Well, I know if they come to the festival, they'll get to hear you talk about a bunch of your clips. So let's preview a little bit. Your first role, amazing debut, Boo Radley with Gregory Peck in To Kill a Mockingbird. How cool was it, you know, your first movie to be with Gregory Peck?
Well, it was nice. And it was Horton Foote was not a mentor of mine, but he certainly helped me early in my career, Horton Foote, and they're doing a wonderful play of his off Broadway as we speak with his daughter, Barbara Halley Foote, which is a lovely production up there in New York. I forget the name of it, Find Your Way Home, I think it is. But initially, Horton Foote, who made the adaptation from Harper Lee's book, mm-hmm. he was the one that helped me get the part, and it was my first part in a major motion picture, and it was a wonderful, wonderful part to play that and be and to meet Mr. Gregory Peck, who was a wonderful gentleman, you know, to work with. You know, it was a very good experience.
Why do you think that line, when Scout looks at you behind the door and says, "Hey, Boo," why do you think those two words are still so powerful today?
I don't know. It just kind of worked. I had a theory then, not so much now, that if I got goose pimples, that means I was acting good. So the goose pimple theory paid off then. All during that whole, especially when I went to see the boy sleeping in the bed, I remember I got goose pimples on my arm. So that's kind of a foolproof thing that you're doing pretty good acting, I think. But, you know, it was a good part to play, you know. The fact that it was kind of a mute guy that helped save those children's lives at times, it was a wonderful part to be able to play as a debut part in my film career.
Yeah, and just you just can't judge a book by its cover. I mean, everyone thought Boo was the big boogeyman, and he saved the day.
He was a good man, yeah.
Definitely. And so, all right, you go from working with Gregory Peck in that to all of a sudden with John Wayne as Rooster Cogburn in True Grit. What was working with John freaking Wayne like?
Well, it was great. The director and I didn't get along. I don't get along with a lot of directors, but I do okay. But John Wayne, it was great working with the Duke. He's wonderful to work with, yeah. He was a good man and a very good natural actor. A lot better than a lot of people gave him credit for. He was an institution unto himself. And, you know, and that final film he did as Shootist, it was wonderful what he did, you know. So he was a good guy to work with, absolutely.
Yeah, I think when you get that big of a persona that a lot of people, you know, your acting chops almost become underrated. But go back and look at me, like The Searchers,
yeah,
and man, he can.
Not one of my favorite films that I was in, but it was nice to work with him.
All right, what was it like working with Robert Altman in MASH?
Good. I knew Bob Altman, Jimmy Kahn, James Kahn, and I, who stay friends through the years, one of my only friends I stay friends with. We worked with Altman in that and before that, and then I got to be in MASH, you know. He's great. It was great to work with Altman because he would allow a lot of relaxed freedom, a little improvisation. It wasn't he didn't nail you down like a lot of the old-time directors did. He was one of the new guys that allowed you to kind of search and find yourself within the form in kind of a legitimate way. And he was very good that way with actors.
Yeah, more of a free-flowing, big ensemble cast, a lot of people mic'd up, just talking all over each other. I love his movies.
Yes, yes.
But obviously, yeah. You're the ones everyone knows. You mentioned James Caan, but Godfather 1 and 2, man, as a combined piece of work, I don't know if there's a better movie out there. Coppola's a genius.
Well, it's certainly an American movie. There are other movies from foreign countries that are wonderful, but right. Maybe as far as American films, that's right up there. Godfather 1 and 2, absolutely wonderful.
Do you still think about Tom Hagen from time to time? I mean,
not much. I like the part, but it's not at the foremost in my mind. Is
gotcha.
My favorite part, but I liked it. I did like working with Coppola, versus Coppola. There was Horton Foote in the rural side of things, and Coppola on the other. Those two gentlemen were very good to me in my early days in my career.
Definitely. I mean, what was it like working across Brando? Tom was always sort of the bearer of bad news. He has to tell Brando that, you know, I thought it was one of your finest acting moments when you have to say Sonny was shot on the causeway and he died.
Had to do that. Coppola said, you want to do one more take? I said, yeah. Coppola was good that way, it was great working with Brando because he was like kind of like the godfather to actors to us young guys anyway, you know.
Yeah.
When we were coming up, we had great reverence for Marlon Brando, you know. Usually that doesn't work necessarily, but, you know, it's good to have idols. And he was like kind of like the godfather in life to many young actors coming up.
Definitely. And then in part two, you have to go up to Pacino and tell him about Kay's miscarriage, which actually we find out it's an abortion, but Pacino just shouts and can't you give me a straight answer anymore? Was it a boy? But I just, you know, what was it like working with Pacino as opposed to, say, Brando?
Well, that was good. Everybody was good to work. You take with whatever somebody gives you. Whatever they give you, you take and you run with it, you know, and you back and forth. Like, to me, the beginning and the end of acting, good acting, is to talk and listen and listen and talk. And, you know, it's not always that easy. It may look easy, but it's not easy. So, you know, whatever they give you, you give back.
Do you think that your convo with Frankie Pantangeline about how the Corleones are like the fall of the Roman Empire, do you think that sort of sums up that movie?
It does what now? What the family's like?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. They're the mafia. Be careful. No. I don't know. Don't build them up too much.
All right.
They go against each other, believe me.
Definitely.
You know.
What made Coppola such a genius?
Coppola, you know, he wanted to see what you could do. Some of these directors want to say, I worked with a director once in a movie, and he said, when I say action, tense up, goddammit. Now, that's the worst thing you can say to an actor. You know?
Yeah.
But Coppola would see what you want to bring, and then he'd let you build on that, and he'd comment. But he wasn't there to say, oh, do this, do that, pick up the pace, do that. But, you know, he was good to work with Coppola because he was a very creative guy, and he wanted to see, he hired you to see what you could do, not what he would tell you. And sometimes we'd carry on and make faces and laugh. He said, come on, guys, we got to be serious now. Jimmy Caan, you know, was like, because Brando loved Jimmy Caan because Jimmy is so funny. And Brando would read his lines. He'd put little signs or big posters up. And one day we took the lines away and put a wedding invitation in so he couldn't see it. So they had to stop. And, you know, everybody was laughing. And we'd moan each other. And Coppola was, come on, guys, we got to be serious now. But he knew that sense of humor, that it helped relax the situation.
Yeah.
So he's, I don't know about other directors, but he was great that way, Coppola. You could mess around and he'd say, okay, that's enough, let's go now.
So
he created a good work atmosphere, and that's one of the main things, to have a work atmosphere, the opposite of when that director said, that when I say action, tense up, goddammit.
Right.
Which is, you know, can you imagine saying that to Joe Montana in the Super Bowl?
No.
You don't tense up. Tense up is different from intensity.
Right.
So, but Coppola was good to work. We had our differences. We, you know, but that's fine. If everything's perfectly smooth, perfectly with a sense of equanimity, then sometimes it's boring. But if you have conflict sometimes, and believe me, I've had plenty of conflicts with directors. Plenty.
So even in the heavier stuff, you're saying it's sort of light on set. So even like the horse head in the bed, I know you're not there for that, but you set that up with the stuff with Waltz, with trying to get Johnny Fontaine that movie. One of my favorite parts is when you come in with that basket of flowers and you say, oh, hey, Johnny got the picture, and so we know exactly what happened. Oh, so
yeah.
Oh, that's just great. Definitely. Yeah. And in between those two movies, you worked with Coppola a smaller part, but in The Conversation with Gene Hackman again. I'll never forget that sort of shot of you, you know, with the, what is it? Like?
I just had a small part, but, you know, I like working with Coppola, and Gene was a friend and a wonderful actor, and retired too early, but he just did some lovely work, and that was one, you know, The Conversation. And Coppola told me that might be his favorite film, The Conversation.
Wow, definitely one of the more underrated, but it's brilliant.
Yeah, lovely film, lovely film.
That movie really foreshadowed sort of the surveillance state that we have.
Yeah, exactly, for sure.
Another Coppola one, while we're just going through them, Apocalypse Now. Do you still smell napalm in the morning?
Yeah, right. No, not too much. Yeah, that was interesting playing that part, because initially it was a little too much, as they say, over the top, as they say. My character's name was Colonel Carnage, but they tempered it, you know, to Kilgore, and I got there, they had him dressed in cowboy boots, and I said, no, let me do my homework. And the Air Cavalry, which is still in evidence in the museum in Fort Hood, Texas, they did wear cavalry hats, cross sabers, boots with spurs, kind of like the cavalry of the last century that went into helicopters and tanks in the following century. So that Air Cavalry, I did my homework and then find out, and Coppola let me find that, you know, to do my research and come up with that was different from the actual script, to dress like the Air Cavalry officers, which they, you can see that in the museum down in Fort Hood, Texas now.
Wow, yeah. I mean, I think you almost steal the movie. Talk, you know, there's explosions going off, and you're just talking about how good the waters are to surf. You want to go surfing?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Do you remember delivering that line, the napalm in the morning? Like, did you have any idea it would take off as like a pop culture staple?
No, but I remember it now. I remember I kind of knelt down and I, what you know what it does? I forget this, but and I realized that the help that I got just through memory when I was in the service in the Army. I remember how the special service officers stood and talked and knelt and dealt with each other. So I remember those images when I was at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And that kind of influenced me in that whole, particularly in that part of my performance when I said those lines. And they come in the morning, sounds like victory.
Oh, I love it. Awesome. Sidney Lumet, Patty Chayefsky, Network. I loved your role in that one as the Network.
Yeah, I did okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Not one of my favorite films, but it was nice. Yeah, it was nice to be able to do. Nice to work with Bill Holden. Great guy to work with. Great guy. Bill Holden is a good actor, and whenever a woman would come on the set, his antenna would go up. Boy, I mean, he'd like to have the ladies around. He was terrific, that guy.
Faye Dunaway in that one.
Yeah.
How much did the idea of like you know, Howard Beale, that Peter Finch character, did that? How much of Howard Beale sort of came true? You guys predicted cable TV in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I guess. How do you mean? Like,
well, just it's sort of gone from just a couple networks doing more hard news, and now it's, you know, it's these really lively personalities like Beale.
Oh yeah, I mean the news stage. I get up in the morning and I watch. I mean, my mind goes in circles. What am I watching this for? But I do. It's kind of interesting to see the different shows. You know, everybody's an authority on everything. You know.
Does it make you mad as hell and you can't take it anymore?
No, not so much. All right.
You just got to roll with the punches. All right, Tender Mercies. You got to over. If you ask me, a long overdue Oscar by that point. But what are your memories of that movie?
Well, when I got the Oscar, it was nice. As soon as, when Dolly Parton said, and the winner is, I knew I'd won it because she was into country music. I knew then that I was okay, you know. Because I was, the only other contestants, nominees, were from Britain, from England. Yeah. So it was nice to win in something that Horton Foote, you know, made the adaptation once. Oh, no, it was the original screenplay, actually, that he wrote. Horton Foote, once again.
Robert Duvall loves him some Horton Foote, man. That's awesome. The Natural, Barry Levinson. Just one of those magical, you know, magical...
Yeah, good director. I enjoyed working on that. I did, you know. Up in Buffalo, New York. And we said, oh, Bobby can't come to the phone. He's swimming. I'd be in one of the Great Lakes. The beautiful Great Lakes up there. I rented a house on the Canadian side that a priest owned and that I rented out from that from the priest on that side of the you know, the Canadian border.
Yeah.
And all I remember was it was nice living there and good Chinese food on that on the Canadian side. we love to eat.
Oh, that's great. What was Robert Redford like on set when he wasn't swimming?
Well, good. Yeah, he's kind of aloof, kind of unto himself. He had a lot to do. Yeah, he's fine. He's fine to work with.
Yeah.
I don't know him that well. We rode horses years ago when they had the, that film festival up in Utah, and I remember riding on his you know, on the ridge near his farm, his ranch there, the beautiful country there.
Sundance. Sundance.
Yeah, Sundance. Yeah, I went to Sundance in the very early years, the very early years.
Mm.
I haven't been back a lot since then, but in the very early years, I went there several years and did certain things, and we had certain little directing and acting symposiums or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, I didn't become a close friend or anything. He was always very amicable and pleasant to work with, you know, he was.
And speaking of riding horses, Lonesome Dove, that great TV miniseries, what are your memories of that? I mean, that was working, you know, in a longer form, and this was before TV totally took off like it is today. I mean, TV is, they say, a golden era now, but, you know, I think Lonesome Dove was sort of a pioneer in terms of, like, a long-form storytelling.
Absolutely. 16 weeks, and I walked into the commissary one room one day in Lonesome Dove. I said, "Boys, we're making the Godfather of Westerns," you know. And years later, when I was made an honorary Texas Ranger by Hank Whitman, you know, it was a nice evening, and a woman came up, because that's like the Bible in Texas. People gather once a year with families to watch it. A woman came over to me and says, Mr. Duvall, I liked your character of Augustus McRae in Lonesome Dove. She said, "I would not allow my daughter's fiance to marry into the family until he had seen Lonesome Dove." So it's quite a statement, you know, and quite a cultural phenomena in Texas and other places too.
Definitely. Falling Down with Mike Douglas.
Oh yeah, it's so long ago, it's hard to remember.
You've done
that
so many.
With Douglas, Michael Douglas, right?
Yeah, Joel Schumacher.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah, it was a nice film to make with the director and all. Yeah, it was a good job. A good job. I look at it as a really good job. Yeah.
Well, we could go through.
But you know, I like television too. I mean, two of the parts I liked very much that people never mentioned was Wrestling Ernest Hemingway, where I played a Cuban barber, and then one of my favorite parts in a strange way was when we actually filmed in the Kremlin when I played Joseph Stalin.
Oh wow!
Years ago, first time. And I heard that Nikita Mikhailkov's father liked it very much, who had served 8 times under Stalin. But what really I think about was that there was a general, an older fellow, that his small apartment was stacked with books of Stalin. The Russian guy, he hated Stalin.
Yeah.
And when I went back, he said, "I did it, I made it." And that was a great, great compliment coming from this student, long-time student, this hater of Stalin, Joseph Stalin. So that was a part I liked. And once again, it was television, but sometimes television offers things. People don't do television because it's not like a film. But now a lot of people do television, you know, because television has gotten very good again.
Oh, yeah, it's the place to be now.
Yeah,
exactly. That's awesome. So those two TV roles are ones that we should go back and check out, sort of the hidden gems of the Duvall career. All right. Is there any particular scene or two that you're most proud of as an actor of all of the
work
you've
ever done? Well, there were sort of some scenes I liked, more than others, obviously. You know, I mean, as a part, I always like lean back towards Augustus McRae and Lonesome Dove, but there were different. When actors talk about other actors, they say, "Well, he had good moments." I had good, and I don't think critics or other people on the street necessarily know what that is. Even when they see it, they might, but other actors see what kind of moments an actor might have. And gain respect of his peers in certain scenes in certain films, but I've had some good moments, quite a few moments in certain films. All the films, some of them, as I said before, we'll forget about. But
yeah.
You know, there've been some you know, I've had some good moments in the films. I'd have to think about it a little bit. I have to say, Lonesome Dove was my favorite. Also, when I did American Buffalo on Broadway.
Oh, awesome.
Directed by Ulu Grossbart. That was one of the highlights. Because I felt I never collect reviews, but I understand that and Lonesome Dove, I got very good reviews. So, but that.
Well, what about in your most recent Oscar nomination, The Judge? Underrated, yeah, in my mind. What were your moments in that, you think?
Well, I enjoyed working in that. I did. I enjoyed working with Robert Downey and his wife. He's terrific to work with as an actor, and his wife as producers. They're very, very good, you know. And Billy Bob was in there, and Finofrio, and we had good people, and it was an interesting script, and I enjoyed doing that part of very much, The Judge, you know.
Yeah,
it's a nice part, you know. I could really kind of unleash within controlled moments, you know, certain emotional things that come from me, and not just out of one's head, you know.
Doing a courtroom drama like that, it almost felt like you came full circle to Kill a Mockingbird. Only now you were Atticus Finch in the courtroom, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. No, I wasn't Atticus Finch. No. Not exactly. Yeah, but I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Awesome. Well, God, thanks so much. You've been more than generous with your time.
Yeah, nice talk. Now you'll be there next week.
Yes, I'm definitely gonna come for your event, and maybe that a couple other ones. In terms of your actual event, do you know which clips are you gonna show? Which movies, do you know?
They don't always pick the ones I want. I wish they picked Stalin. I wish they picked the one where I played the Cuban barber, but they never do.
Right.
They picked the obvious ones, which are okay, you know. But you know, I don't know which ones they're gonna pick. I don't know.
Right. So thanks so much for joining us. This was an honor.
Okay, sir. Thanks. Nice talking to you.
You too, sir.
Thanks a lot. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Robert Duvall on WTOP.